Okay, everybody. It's now 1 p.m. I'm calling this March 12th, 2026 Library Board meeting to order. And we do have a quorum. Public comments. Carol, you have the list?
Scott. Take your last name.
Kopenhauer.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Scott Kopenhauer, 122 West Oak Street in beautiful Michael Park neighborhood downtown. 34 years been there. Indy Land grad, Winthrop accounting grad, so I've been in the area the whole time. I go to 20 plus years I sat on town of Fort Mill planning, zoning appeals. I'm currently on historic review board. I sit on numerous advisory committees for the town and the county for parks and rec and recode and long range planning, things along that line. So I am 100% in favor of us locating a library in what we call District 7 in York County, which is the Fort Mill School District, everything east of 77. So I'm 100% in favor of a library going in there. Coming from planning and different things, libraries deserve to be in the downtown districts. So anyway, that's where we should look to locate libraries in downtown districts. So I know we've heard different things about whatever. Sometimes once-in-a-lifetime opportunities happen. The Top of End Preserve Park, 1,900 acres, it happens. So the county has made projects happen before when you get a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I hate to bring up the Panther scenario, but the Panthers was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So anyway, I know there's procedures, protocols, but sometimes just a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity becomes available, and something like that does, or even long-range planning at a library in District 7 is much needed. We got two new neighborhoods, one behind the Food Line, one behind Catawba Ridge. Both of those are going to be retirement communities. So not only do we have all three high schools in District 7, we got the Orchards where my mother-in-law lives and numerous other retirement communities, retired apartments on Sutton, 77 up by Gold Hill Road. So serving not only kids, but people like me, my age now, you know, along that line. But just once again, just thank you for your time, and please consider everything we do to get a library in District 7 for us.
Thank you, Scott. And Fran Deacon?
Right here, 434 Bullfinch Bend, Raynham Baxter. My husband and I, we moved here about a year and a half ago, and we made it to our first library board meeting last time we all met, and we're just happy to be back, and we just missed some things, we just kind of wanted to commend you because we heard you had a really good ruling in December where you maybe relocated some books, and you know, we just come with a big history back in the New York City area where we lived, with issues around the books in our local public libraries, and we were just so happy to hear how the ruling had gone, and also wanted to commend you for what I picked up on last time we were here. You were doing something about your library cards and letting parents have more control over, parental control over their children and what they're viewing, and that also is so impressive to us, so I just really wanted to come and commend you for the good work you're doing.
Okay. All right. Thank you all. Approval of previous meeting minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the previous meeting minutes?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye. Oh, wait a minute. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? I think we're good on that.
I abstain because I wasn't here.
Okay. Noted. Reports, that'd be the director.
We have included our latest statistics for March. Don't have anything of particular note to point out, except usage is still going up. More importantly, I'd like to just give an update on the electrical upgrade. The obstacles we reported last month were not obstacles. And so everything has been in place, the lighting, the panel I talked about, and I believe we were granted a certificate of occupancy this week. Mm-hmm. So we are on track to, we'll have more details for the public for dates, but it's still probably middle of April that we are aiming for getting opened back to the public. But those of you in the public know that we will, in about 2 weeks, have a marketing plan and get the word out there on more specifics.
Great.
I'm pleased about that. Thank you all for your patience. And then we will have a grand reopening ceremony after we're open to the public. And you will all be invited.
All right, Mr. Treasurer.
All right, we'll do as ordered here. The treasurer report will consist of the review of February 28th. Since we've got the new budget down and new business, we'll just defer that to down there. So in terms of the treasurer's report, call your attention to the January 28th summary that's in your packet. And of course, as we're closing in on year end, we're keeping a very close tabs on total numbers down at the bottom, which you'll see right now indicates that we are significantly under spending our budget. But there are, hold on to your hat, there are things coming up here in the last couple of months that are going to unfortunately take that number upward and get more in line with our budget. So we're not trying to deliberately over budget and then over budget to the point of having a bunch of excess. So there are planned expenditures that are going to come in here that will take that number up closer to our total budget. I know that's a nice problem to have, but again, we are allocating expenses as the budget is for a year. Sometimes the expenses kind of clump together. Sometimes they're way at the beginning, and I got to explain the number for the whole year. Sometimes they come in right at the end. So we are definitely under control. And so in summary here, if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them, but there's really not too much to report at this time. That's my report, sir. Okay.
Very good. No questions. We'll go to Strategic Planning Committee. B. Carol.
We've been busy. I think all three of us have visited, called, reached out to let the community know that we are preparing the community survey for distribution, that we will have the paper copy. I spoke to the York County Council and to the Fort Mill City Council at their work session. And Laura, if you will mention the places you have been.
I went to York City Council and Clover Town Council.
Okay. And Terry, I know you've also done.
I've done Rock Hill City Council. They're going to come back again next month and remind them in more detail. Have not yet set the meeting with people at the Greater New York County Chamber of Commerce, but that's in the work.
Okay. And everybody, I think the two of you would agree, they've been really receptive and anxious to help us to publicize the survey and to get community feedback. Everywhere I've been so far, obviously, there's been interest in putting the library there. And so we will go to the next step to get some sort of non-biased opinions for the community when we have done the preliminary work with the survey. I think at this point, would you like me to go ahead or wait till new business to talk about the survey and take a vote on that?
Let's just wait under new business. If that's
okay.
Oh,
you got it down in E. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Okay, very good. Thank you. And then Policy Committee, Dennis?
Yes, the Policy Committee met on March 3rd, and you'll notice that in the new business we have rewritten policies and other changes to vote on, so I'll postpone that specifics to the new business area. But just in general, but the commitment of the Policy Committee this year is basically to try to review all our policies over this calendar year. So we're taking a couple a month. In many, many cases, they're just at best being reformatted a little bit. In other cases, we made some more significant changes, was noted in the card policy and obviously the book policy. But that's our plan for this year, and so we're on track.
Okay.
And possibly be introducing a few new policies that the director has recommended. So that is also on the agenda.
Okay, great. Unfinished business none, so we'll move right into new business. We'll be voting on the proposed budget, and we'll give Pam the opportunity to say whatever she'd like on that.
Okay, you should have a printout in your packet that's two pages, landscape orientation with lots of red ink. The red ink indicates a change from last year. The biggest and most exciting change is the significant increase in the millage from York County. They have estimated their millage rate this year to be $2.3 million, and last year it was $1.9875, so that's about a 15% increase. Mm-hmm. The library gets 4.6 mils, so when you do the math and add in $50,000, and that should say delinquent property taxes on your handout, that brings us to an estimated of $10,630,000 from the county next year. So that's a pretty significant increase. I think you'll be excited to see what we're going to do with it. Our state aid appropriations were adjusted slightly for 2025 and 2026, so I just made that modification here. It's a very small, less than 1% adjustment. Our fines, fees, and rentals have been trending upwards, so I adjusted that budget upwards slightly. I didn't want to overshoot it and then fall short of it, so I tried to be pretty conservative at $60,000. Our other revenues are a combination of our investment income from the interest-bearing accounts and our Friends of the Library donations. We do foresee interest rates going down, so we foresee that interest income coming down a little bit. And also, I did not budget for the South Carolina Retirement System credit. They have not told us if we'll be getting that credit this year. Last year, it was $29,666. So if we get it, there may be an adjustment that we need to make to the income portion of the budget. So that brings our total estimated income to $11,610,392 and a whopping 60 cents. Any questions about income? Okay. As per the usual, our biggest expenditure is our staff. Our salary budget is increasing this year. We are budgeting for a 3.5% merit increase, which has been the county standard for some time now. It also includes three new positions and some reclassifications of some current positions where folks are doing job responsibilities that have changed that merit a change in either their title or their compensation or both. So that brings our estimated budget to $4,767,000, about a 6% increase. When salaries go up, that employee benefits category goes up because of our FICA taxes. That's included in there. Also included in there are our health employer-paid health insurance benefits, which are not increasing for 2026. That rate is staying the same. So it's a much smaller increase in that category. Materials. We are seeing a pretty significant increase in the cost of materials, especially our printed materials, books and periodicals. We've been seeing increases anywhere from 5 to 8%. So I wanted to accommodate that and just did a flat 6% increase in both of those categories. Our AV materials budget went up also by about 6%, and I also included a program that one of our, I want to say elementary, that's not the right one, children's librarians came up with, which are Tony's Kits for Kids, which is a way to get kids involved with literature and off their screens. They're really cute little boxes that have figurines that you plug in, and you interact with the figurine from the story. So we're looking to build a collection of those for circulation at the branches. Electronic reference, our Livy and Hoopla people love their ebooks and audiobooks, so we have budgeted a 10% increase in that category for next year. Hotspots, although we did lose our E-rate funding last year, we have partnered with a new provider. We are transitioning from T-Mobile to a nonprofit called Mission Telecom. They reached out to me this year with a proposal, and they are saving us a fairly significant amount of money next year. And on top of that, we are able to increase the number of hotspots that we have in circulation. So double bonus there.
Yeah.
Microfilm and bindings, I checked in with John, who runs those for the local history collection in the library, and he does not anticipate his budget going up, so we left those as is. Our utility budget, we are under budget for utilities for this year, so I kept last year's budget, assuming that we're probably, costs are increasing for utilities, but I don't think we're going to exceed that number. Telephone and communications. Last year, we had allocated money in there for internet service in case the FCC also removed that funding. However, they did not. So our internet provider is still taken care of. But what we did have to add in was Google Workspace, which is the platform that we do all of our library communication on. That's our Gmail and our Google Drive. We were sharing with the Friends of the Library, but they decided that we needed to split that out. So now we have our own account. It runs us about $1,000 a month. So that's included in that budget. Insurance, I'm trying to remember why we had such a big number last year. I'd have to look at my notes again. But this year, we're looking at an increase in our liability insurance rate, and then I also budgeted to renew the policy that the board bought for themselves this year. So that should total about $78,000. Our building maintenance budget, last year we beefed it up quite a bit, and that's where you're going to see some of these expenses coming in towards the end of this fiscal year. But for next fiscal year, we're returning to our previous budget of about $25,000 per branch, so that comes out to $215,000. Computer maintenance. I also returned this to the previous budget, but then I remembered a bunch of stuff that had to go in there. So you see all my comments. It's our standard budget, but we also have a yearly fee for the app, which is about $5,000. We are wanting to provide our young adult section in Rock Hill with a laptop lab so that the kids can do homework and collaborate together in the YA section. And then cybersecurity is becoming an issue all over the place. And so we allocated $80,000 for cybersecurity software in that budget. Equipment maintenance, we're trending below budget this year, so I kept the budget the same, $46,000. Same for vehicle maintenance. We seem to have comfortable margins in those areas, so I didn't make any changes. Supplies. Along with the cost of materials, our major book provider is also raising their costs on the processing of the books they do, which is the wrap that goes over the book and the spine labels, and then their freight costs as well. So we're increasing that budget to accommodate for their rate changes. That must be the page break for you guys. I hear rustling. Marketing, we're maintaining the same budget, $15,000. Stacy does an amazing job with our marketing budget. In fact, I'm encouraging her to spend a little bit more money this year because she's under budget. Professional fees, last year that number was high because we allocated the money for the needs assessment for the Strategic Planning Committee, so I know you guys have that money planned out for this year. We did increase our legal fees from $6,000 to $10,000, so that brings our estimated professional fees next year to $35,500. Programs, this includes all of the money from the Friends of the Library and the funding that we allocate to our programming. This is just our funds. I have friends broken out separately. This is our funds that we allocate from our funding to our programming. We had several requests for increases from different branches and different area management team because costs are increasing just across the board. Even providing snacks for some of our book club groups, that cost is going up. So we do have an increase in that category for spending. Programs and services from grants and donations. This is our Friends of the Library money, and it's already been approved because they run on a calendar year. So they've been approved for the calendar year of 26 of $86,000, just a small decrease from the prior year. Memberships, one of our membership, I think it's the SC Lens. I have, Dennis, I don't know if you have that email with you where I had the breakdown of all of those memberships. I can pull it up if you don't.
I just happen to have it.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much. So lots of things come out of the membership category. OCLC is our interlibrary loan. The SCE Lens consortium fee comes out of that. We have several different chambers of commerce that we belong to. The South Carolina Association of Public Library Administration. Then we have some smaller membership fees, like we use Walmart Business Plus for supplies, so that comes out of that, as well as our genealogical associations and a Metrolina Association fee. So some of those costs are going up this year, which is why that category has a very small increase. Staff development and travel. We are looking to invest in our staff this year with some additional training. So we have increased our staff development budget by $10,000 to accommodate additional training. And, of course, the mileage rate for mileage reimbursement keeps going up, so there's a small increase for that as well. Postage and freight, this comes back to Brodart increasing their fees. Their freight costs were 2% in the past. Now they are 3%, so this increase accommodates their change in fees. Security, we are expanding our security budget to include weekend hours down at Rock Hill. Currently, our security guards are only there during weekdays, and we'd like to include that service on Saturdays as well. Furniture and equipment, I'm actually decreasing this budget a little bit this year. Last year, I had it combined with our vehicle replacement fund, and I split that out this year because the vehicle replacement fund is capital outlay. It's not really, it doesn't belong in furniture and equipment. So furniture replacement, general library equipment, I'm expecting about $60,000 next year, so that's where we've got that budget. Miscellaneous is kind of a hodgepodge, which reflects the word miscellaneous. Lost book refunds, if people have paid for a book and they find it and they return it, we refund it to them. That happens to the tune of about $1,500 a year. There are bank service fees and our merchant processing fees for the credit card machines that we have at each branch. And then we have a miscellaneous expense category that just allows us to have room for other categories that might go over. That brings us to our capital outlay. Last year, we set aside $5,000 towards our goal of $35,000 to fully fund a vehicle replacement. After looking at the costs of vehicles, we decided to raise that to a $45,000 goal. And we are going to fully fund that this year. So I have $5,000 already sitting aside from last year. We're going to add $40,000. And I had to put $770 in there to make my numbers work. So that's where it's going. So that's going to fully fund our vehicle replacement fund. And the grand ta-da. We are putting aside $1 million to be used in the future as a building fund. Hopefully to show the county that we are doing good faith and we really want to do that.
Awesome.
Cool.
Does anyone have any questions for me?
First, the money in here for specifically for an outside consultant?
In the professional fees, it would come out of that budget if we needed an outside consultant. But we already have it budgeted for this current fiscal year. The Strategic Planning Committee has that in their budget for this year.
So the $35,500. Is that what that is?
No, you're talking about the needs assessment, the community assessment.
Right.
That was budgeted last year.
Right.
We just have to use it by the end of
Yeah, just have to use it by June 30th.
By the end of the year.
That
the
money's
fiscal year.
That money was there last year.
Yeah, that was
fiscal.
The plan. The
yeah.
plan was that you're ready.
Right. Thank you.
You're ready to have the consultant come on board.
All right.
Okay, I'd like to comment that this, again, reflects just spectacular staff abilities. Pam has been is it 1 year plus now?
Year and a half I've been
okay,
here, yes.
Okay, already. And,
does it seem longer?
It seems shorter.
You know, she's hit the track running at full speed, and it just is a delight to work with her. And I think we can't overemphasize the emphasis here of, as everybody's been saying, and I've been talking for several years about trying to get two more branches, though I'm not going to steal the thunder of the Strategic Planning Committee. We feel by putting this money in the budget, and this was obviously came from our ex-employee, now Kevin Madden, who was our treasurer. So, but the idea here is, you know, we've been studying and we know a need. So we can study it for a while. We want to make a specific action, but we want to have the money ready for the action. And there's two things that are on the table right now. And the number one, the lowest hanging fruit to increase our library capacity, of course, is right here, moving out the economic development area, which technically could be anywhere in the county. In fact, might should be probably closer to a different location than right here anyway. And so what we're trying to tell the county now is do your job. At this point in time, we would like the county council to direct the staff to find another location for the development center so that we can obviously take over that about 3,300 square feet upstairs. We've already obviously been spitballing ideas for that, and now we're going to tell the county we have the money, so you don't even have to worry about providing us the funds. So we wanted to have something available to quickly. Our plan doesn't call for major any kind of renovation up there, so we think we can kind of move quickly. But then also this money, as it just says, a general fund. But also this, the idea that if you're going to be moving, if we talk about opportunities coming up, maybe if some land becomes available and we can put some money down, depending on if we have to move. We do have other reserves that we can tap, but those take a longer time, take council approval, and could just stretch out a little bit. So everybody's anxious to get moving, so we're kind of like putting the charge here so that we, when we say go, we can explode. And if some opportunity comes with the land or a lease or something, though, I shouldn't put lease on the table because county doesn't like the lease property. They want to own property. But if again, if a building became for sale or that we could renovate or obviously land became available, we want to be able to move quickly. So I think I speak for the board that we're anxious to try to get expansion in our library facilities, and have been working on it for a couple of years. And this is kind of now, if you want to say the word, putting money where our mouth is. And actually, this is somewhat novel, that you actually take your operating funds and tell the county that you want to spend them. Your highest priority is to spend them for new facilities. So, and obviously we're keeping within our budget, and again, we're a well-run library. So that's my conclusion, and I, again, another applaud for the staff. Thank you for being a pleasure to work with.
I'd like to just sort of ditto what you said, because I think for us to be able to show that this is serious, it required an effort on your part to manage the budget and to be able to show us on paper what we are doing right. And so thank you again for that. And Dennis is absolutely right. The county needs to know that we're serious about what we need to do for our constituents, that they matter, and we are listening.
Mr. Chairman, if I may add something. And said we want the county council to know we set aside $1 million for a future capital project. I think we need to remind the county that the county owned land in downtown Rock Hill for New Main Library, sat on it for about some 20 years, and then sold it. It's now the site of the Exchange Park Building in downtown Rock Hill. They got $2 million for that sale. $2 million was not set aside for the library. It went into their general fund. So basically, the county had plenty of reason to put some money into new library. And please put that in the minutes.
Okay, I've got the county owned the land in downtown Rock Hill and sold it for $2 million.
It was right at $2 million. They paid almost that much some 20 years before, but taxpayers paid for it and sat up and paid for it for over 20 years, I believe. The former Good Motor Company.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to move that the board approve the 2026-27 budget request as presented, dated February 27th, 2026, draft number one.
Okay, we have a motion. Do we have a second? All right, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. Thank you all. Very good. Vote to modify the library card policy. So, Dennis, you want to enlighten us on that?
Yes.
That little change there.
We passed this policy last month or the month before, and we had one error in it, and it involves on page 5 in the title Unrestricted Minor Card. We have the words allowing the interlibrary loan program. Julie pointed this out to us, that policy, we have another policy on the interlibrary loan, that's supposed to be for adults only. So we are, I make a motion that we strike the words interlibrary loan from our library card policy on page 5.
Okay, so just delete those interlibrary loan and. So we're done with that, okay? We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? All right, that's cool. Let's see, vote to approve rewritten display and bulletin board policy.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
So in your packet here is the display and bulletin board policy. And so I bring that to your attention. Unfortunately, we made a motion in the subcommittee that wasn't reflected on this policy. So I would just like to include that motion that has already been approved by the subcommittee and therefore approved this policy to be added in the approval process for this draft.
Okay.
So I move that the library board accept the display and the bulletin board policy draft 225-26 with the following second sentence added. All displays must comply with the collection and development policy.
You said the second. Where are you putting it? In the second sentence of the very first paragraph?
Yes, second sentence.
Before displaying.
Yes.
Okay. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I want to talk about that. But then all displays must comply with the collection development policy. Does that assume that the person asking for something put up knows what that policy is? Or is it just a sense that our staff knows what it is and says that doesn't comply?
It would be the staff that would make that decision, and of course, if the board isn't happy with that, they can always overrule a staff decision.
Okay. I just wanted things to be easily understood by everybody.
Okay, any other discussion?
Just to that amendment, I have several things about the general policy, draft policy, but we're not on that, right? We're just talking about Dennis has brought up.
No, I'm talking the approval
the entire,
of the policy.
The entire approval. Yes,
with, yep. That, with that added sentence.
Okay, I do have some questions. Some of it is improving the wording. We say, for instance, provide space for library, government, education, community information. I think what it should say is we provide space for display of library, government, educational, community information. We say displaying non-library materials, but that does not mean, I think it should say display of.
Where are you?
Very top line right here.
Okay.
And then under display cases, a reference to co-sponsor a display, I don't know what that means. When we say the library's going to co-sponsor a display, what does that mean?
Are we talking about the first sentence, the library provides space for display?
No, I'm dropping down now to display cases. Those are just grammatical language type suggestions. Dennis may or may not agree with this. But under display cases, we say the individual may co-sponsor the display by contacting the library director. I don't know what that means.
Well, my interpretation is that if a person wants to display something, that they go to the library director for permission, and that we may assist in that if we think that's a good community use of space.
That's not what co-sponsor means to me. It'd be more correct to say somebody must seek permission to put something in a display case. But I mean, co-sponsor makes it sound like the library is co-sponsoring or endorsing something.
Well, in this case, the library director has to give the permission, so by definition, we are.
I don't think so. I think co-sponsor means has a connotation more of an endorsement. Most of this policy is written from the point of view we don't necessarily agree with what your views express, but we're allowing you to say them.
Yeah, it might be individuals wishing to or patrons wishing.
Seeking permission to.
Should seek permission.
Yeah, right.
Could say something more like that.
I mean, I could put this in a formal motion, but it's going to be very awkward to do that because I have a bunch more things to say.
Okay, well, let's put them all on the table.
Okay.
So wait a minute. How does this one read that you would like to see it changed? Individuals wishing
to display.
Persons must seek permission from the library director before being allowed to post something in the display case or put something in the display case.
Julie, can you just there's bulletin boards, which is basically for the community to put up whatever they want, right?
With permission.
But the display cases are something different. They're very few of them, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. But they're like displaying mostly books, things that you want, that the library is trying to highlight. Is that correct?
Typically.
Right.
Or exhibits, like a Beatrix Potter exhibit that a patron asked us to put on is a good example of what that might look like from a patron's side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Because I think sometimes we're conflating the two things of the bulletin board and the display
cases.
Which is, when we were talking about it, I got the sense that the display cases were something that the library staff took care of. And this was we were just trying to clean up the language, and it was in the original policy that, we changed from 2007. So I think co-sponsoring may not be the right word, but it may be, if someone has, like that Beatrice Potter thing, is that a librarian patron would come and say, I have this, I'd love to
show
it.
That's what they did, yeah.
So that's what I guess we're trying to get at here.
But Terry, what you're driving at, the word co-sponsor puts us in other areas that we don't want to move.
Correct.
So basically, okay. You're just saying the individuals may request a display by contacting the library, or may request material in a display by
request
contacting.
To display.
To display by contacting the library director.
Individuals wishing to display something must seek permission from the library director. Not the exact word wishing.
Okay. Let's we'll
I don't go. I think you should keep the language close to this.
Yep.
Individuals wishing to display
content.
Display content?
Material.
To display materials. Must seek permission from the library director. Does that say what
that's
it means?
That's a little verbose. Why can't you just say individuals may request materials to display by contacting the library director? Just simple.
Everybody good with that one?
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's go with Nancy's.
So individuals may request materials to display by contacting the library director.
But sometimes they want to display their own stuff.
Yeah.
So
that would cover
it is
that.
Their own stuff. It would like that. That's typically how
so
it is.
So they're not asking you to put something out. It's mm-hmm. their own. So that
okay. So put in their own.
Yeah.
May I suggest that we all submit to Dennis our suggestions and have him come back next meeting?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But let me point out a couple things. I think beyond the nitpicking of words, there's no reference in here in the first part of it about commercial enterprises. We assume that they are not allowed to display things. In other words, we talk about library, government, education, community information. We want to have this any reference to whether commercial entities can put stuff. And all honesty, I don't know the answer to that.
These are the parameters. These are the parameters in order of who gets priority.
Okay, but if
and
a business wants to put something in, they're not going to go out.
Typically, I mean, there's always an exception that could be made. But, yeah, the focus is on library, city, town, state, federal kind of things.
Yes.
And then local partners.
Let me continue on.
Sure.
Approval and restrictions, it gives a list of reasons why the library may refuse to display items. Do we need to specify all those size, format, appearance, quantity, or timeliness? I mean, there might be some other reasons why you'd want to refuse to display something. My point is that the more things we put in there, it invites people to find something that's not being listed. I mean, there's nothing in there about obscenity, for instance. Pardon?
There's one item that violates any laws will not be displayed, so obscenity won't be displayed.
Well,
it violates the law.
As one of our Supreme Court just said, obscenity is an ad over. All I'm saying is that the more specific reasons we put in there to give the library director permission to turn something down is inviting people to find the loophole. If we just say she has permission to turn things down,
that's fine.
That, to me, would make more sense. And then we say it shall not violate any laws. That's too broad. Should be state or federal laws. Because otherwise, you know, any law could be sure of law.
Well, they have to comply with the collection development policy. So that covers that.
Then we don't have to worry about our state and federal laws. But you could put municipal ordinance in there, but I don't think you want to do that.
If your comment about the director having reviewed the rights, could that not go in that opening paragraph? Library director?
It's kind of an asterisk on all of these. The director has the authority to approve or deny, but I mean.
But that would at least cover from the very beginning, sort of the parameters of what you're talking about for liability.
And it's fine to say it shouldn't. may not be in violation of state or federal law. Clearly, that needs to be in there. But I don't know if we just want to say any laws. This is, again, nitpicking. We say dated items are removed promptly. Would it not be better to say outdated items or post-dated? Dated, I'm assuming what it means is something. You have an event posted with a date on it, and we're past that date, you take it down.
Right.
But I don't know what dated item means for sure. And then the very last thing about surveys and petitions may be posted. I sort of question the wisdom of that. Why would we want to be the repository for petitions or surveys? Does that come up?
Not since I've been
here. Maybe a good reason for it. I just don't know.
No, not since I've been here. What year was this policy, Richard?
07.
Yeah. So it might have been a problem or not. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I can't speak to it.
So I will sit down and put on my thoughts and paper and send it to you, David.
Okay.
All right, why don't we do this since we have a motion on the floor, and I think it was seconded. I'm going to move that we table this discussion to the next meeting so we have a chance to get all the modifications taken care of. So, let's see, that tabling does require a second. Does anyone?
A second, that.
Okay, and it takes a majority vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right, so that one has been tabled. Rewritten meeting room policy. Mm-hmm. Dennis, you got anything to say on that one?
Basically, this was approved, so I'll make the motion that the board accept the meeting room policy that's presented to you with draft date 3-2-2026.
Okay. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Discussion?
Yeah, I've got a few points on this one. Julie, we list the meeting space of all the library branches, but we do have, at least in Rock Hill, Maine, frequently have meetings in that space close to the street, what you call activity space.
Activity room.
Is that not covered in this policy? It's not listed
as
one.
We don't rent it as meeting space.
But groups have meetings in it, do they not?
Mm-hmm. We have. But we don't typically. It's for children's programming.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, we can revisit that, but yeah, that's not what we've done.
When we jumping down to meeting room basics, all meetings must be open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
So that means if an organization that normally would not allow people in their meetings has in that space, they're not allowed to come.
You have to all meetings are open.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And so that's like, for example, something we advise. You know, we have social organizations that meet with their clients, and like if you book the room, just know that this is an open meeting. So.
Okay. Down to who may reserve a room, nonprofit organizations must show a 501c3 status.
Mm-hmm.
I think that ought to be worded in such a way that the director may require to see that proof. I mean, if the Red Cross shows up and says we want to reserve a room, they're going to have to bring with them their state certification, 501c3, or can we not just assume that Red Cross is a nonprofit?
I mean, we can look them up, but if we can't look you up, we're going to ask you for it.
Then I think that I'll say that. That's not what it says. But it says you're required to show.
I think
you must show a status.
We would prefer for them to show to provide proof. Would you prefer that?
But it specifically says they must show it. In other words, so saying, you have to show it, have your certification in hand.
We'll say provide proof. All right.
Give you the discretion to require that. So just so you know the legitimate groups.
Correct.
We say in the next paragraph, for-profit businesses must show purposes aligned with the library's mission. I don't know what that means.
So our mission is literacy. It's, you know, I haven't looked at our mission statement for a while, but basically we want for-profit businesses who are doing business around literacy, around business in the community, because we support our community.
Well, say I'm an insurance agent, and I want to do held meetings and teach people about
insurance. That's literacy. Literacy is teaching. You just can't sell you can't sign your people up and sell insurance at it. We do that a lot.
Okay.
At banks and a lot of libraries do this because I'm trying to think of an example of a business that, you know, you're like, well, that really doesn't have anything to do with the library. And nothing is leaping to my head right now. But that's why that's been in there, and it is, and you'll find that in many libraries, their meeting room.
Right.
I mean, just putting it out there, it's up to you if you think it's not
kind of
workable.
Again, it might be something a little better wording than that.
Mm-hmm.
Government agencies, mm-hmm. local or state.
Mm-hmm.
So if the FBI wants to use our space, they can. They're not allowed. The government agencies, local or state, doesn't say federal.
Okay. Maybe it should say federal, but yeah, we welcome them as well. We had FEMA. Yeah, we had FEMA at Rock Hill.
So say government agencies, they're all government. jumping down to rooms must not be used for activities that disrupt normal library operations or duplicate existing library programs. What's the thought on that?
The thought on that is, you know, a lot of people think that they can do storytelling, you know, story time, and that's our gig. You know, our focus is on library programs. We don't need you to come in and be. You either come and work with us as a partner, or we ask you to come present. But like, we don't need you coming in and having a painting program. That's pretty tame, but yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe
we have a policy about you have to have a professional library.
That's right.
Activity dealing with children.
That's correct.
Should that be in here specifically?
I think we could refer to that policy.
Okay, I think that's a good idea. We're not going to charge nonprofits and community groups for using the space?
We're not, we haven't.
Do any libraries do that? Martin,
charge
do you
for
libraries?
Nonprofit?
For a nonprofit,
often they don't even charge for.
Yeah,
nonprofit.
I mean, my experience is what Julie said. Usually, community groups aren't charged.
Mm-hmm. Not even for set up or cleanup fee. Okay. We dropped down fees. The last paragraph, fee must be paid 1 week before the event, which is fine. Either by calling the branch or the pay with credit card, but why don't we just say must be paid 1 week prior to the event and leave the technical aspects of how it's going to be paid?
Because don't you think that's helpful to people reading it?
People know how to, you know, there's only so many ways you can pay, credit card, check, or cash.
Okay.
But the problem is they don't go to the library to reserve the room. They do it online, and there's no way online to pay for it. So we thought it would be better to explain to them that there's two options. They can either call that library branch and do it, or pay, or just
okay.
Visit. That's why that was put in there. If you want to change the wording, that's fine, but
need
to know.
Yeah, okay. I didn't understand that.
And they do have to read this meeting room policy, technically, before signing up for it.
Mm-hmm.
Did we say that specifically in there?
We say it on the library, the meeting room reservation page.
Thank you. Why wouldn't we allow people to pay online? I mean, that's what everybody wants to do.
We can't afford it. Huh? We can't. It doesn't work with our system.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Jumping down to promoting your meeting, only library sponsors may use the library's name in advertising. I think you might be better to say promotion, because in many cases people think advertising is paid advertisements, and you don't want your name used in other ways without your permission. And you might want to make a specific reference to use of the York County Library logo, that that's not allowed by outsiders' permission. Because that's our brand.
We haven't seen that, but Martin has been monitoring a group that is using pictures of our library to indicate that that's where the meeting is, but sort of kind of indicate that.
Well, we say they can't use the library's name, common sense dictates that they have to be able to tell people where the meeting is held, so they have to use the name of the library in their promotion.
That's fine, but they put a picture of the library, a picture of our logo, or a picture of our sign-up, make them look like we're sponsoring. Mm-hmm. That's where it kind of...
I think with the logo, I definitely would not allow that, but I mean, for a lot of people who aren't particularly adept to find their way around the world, the photo of the building might be helpful. I mean, to me, that doesn't connote more than a place.
Yeah. It's fun, the building's fine, but they usually do it so that our sign is in there, and so the signage is our brand, and then our brand is displayed on the Facebook post or whatever, and that makes it look, from my perspective at least, like we're sponsoring something, but we're really not.
We're agreed they can say the name of the library.
And they do. They say the name, they put the address and everything in there, but then they want to have some sort of image on there, and then, you know, we just got to be careful with that.
Where we talk about the groups that violate meeting rules, behavior that will forfeit their right to future use, I think it might be better to say that their right to be suspended for a minimum 1 year or 6 months. And then give it so the library director can decide whether to lift that suspension. There's a reason I say that. Supposedly you've got a nonprofit organization that does something really stupid, and you don't want them to come again. In a year or less, they're going to have a whole change of leadership. So a new board is on this group, but a new president comes in, and he finds out, no, you've already gotten the death sentence. Your organization can never again use the library. So we allowed you, or the director of the library, to lift that suspension. That would be best for everybody. I mean, they have to, but they have permission. They have the authority to do that.
I just assume not tie the library director's hands. If it's an egregious violation, we might want them kicked out forever. If it's a minor, you might want to just say, cool it for a couple of months. Mm-hmm. I'd just soon let her have the discretion.
Right.
Without
but that's
concept.
Not what the current policy says. Current policy says you live forever.
Does, I don't need that forever.
Well, it says they can't do it in the future. Forfeit the right to future use of library meeting rooms. Future is forever. Chairman, get a motion like you did the last time.
Table it.
Yeah,
somebody want to make a motion?
Let's finish all of
this. Is that everything? Okay. All right, somebody want to make a motion to table this?
I'll make a motion that we table the media room policy.
Okay, second?
Sorry.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. All right, so that was tabled.
Okay.
Here, set me your comments on this one.
What's that?
talking about.
All right, moving on. Vote on community survey. Carol?
I would like to make a motion that the board approve the York County Library Public Survey as presented to you in your packet.
All right. Second, do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Very good.
Carol, will these copies be available at the public libraries? Is that where residents will get these?
Yeah, so the plan is to, you know, have them available, maybe a few available at the desk. We've also put it on our intranet so our staff can print it as needed for someone who needs one. I don't know how many people are actually going to want to fill one out by hand. I imagine the majority of people will do it online or on the phone or whatever. But we will have the option there, and we've already put the mechanisms in place for that.
Do we pick a date when it's going to go up on?
I mean, we talked, we're running April, all of April.
Starting April 1st?
Whatever, I don't know what day of the week that is, but I guess it's the first business day in April, I would say.
I can't have anything identified with April Fool's Day.
Yeah, that's true.
Anybody need to make a motion about when it should go live?
You can, certainly.
I'm looking at the calendar, so let's see if April Fool's Day is...
It's a Wednesday.
So, can we go with the Wednesday? What day you want to start?
The 6th. The Monday.
That's the first Monday.
First Monday.
Okay. April 6th. So, I make a motion that the survey is available, both paper and online, April 6th.
Second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Cool.
And that will be by going to the YCL.
Yeah, we'll have some marks that go out so that people will be informed, and we'll send it to you too.
It'll be awesome.
Okay.
Julie, will you send out the message to social media on that?
Yep. Okay. Got it.
Okay, and then F, we don't have to vote on that one, but I, as the chairman, are requesting. Mm-hmm. To have the director give a monthly report to the board on all book relocation, removal, and purchase forms that have been submitted, and also if you could give us a breakdown going forward of the different library cards, how they balance out between children, teen, right, unrestricted, and adult.
And that we can kick in when we launch in September. Because we won't physically have, we have to move everything over at Searcy. We have to get cards. We've got summer reading in between. So we had picked September being the launch. So starting September, I will do that. I will change that, absolutely.
Okay.
And with regard to the format for this report, do you have any ideas about how you want that? Or...
Well, how
do you want to list it? Like,
just however you've been doing in your monthly stats, you could just, whatever's easiest for you.
For the relocation and suggestion for purchase.
Well, I guess you're not going to do that, graph.
I mean, how much information do you want? Do you want numbers, or do you want to think about it?
Dennis, what do you think as the chairman?
What kind of information do you want me to capture in that report?
Are we talking about the...
F.
Yep.
Not the cards, but the
report on all book relocation removal requests and suggestion for purchase requests.
Yeah, I, at this point in time, I'd just like to see number.
Number?
Just to get a number
handle. And action?
Yeah, number.
How about
action.
Number and action?
You don't want title?
Well, you need title.
Title, yeah.
Title also.
Yeah.
Okay.
Title the book and then action.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
So number, title, action. Yeah.
Title of the book, we're talking about purchase forms?
Correct. The suggestion for purchase? Not purchase forms. Suggestion for purchase.
So we're not saying we're going to look over the book.
The suggestions as they come in. What people are interested in us adding that we haven't added.
Okay.
Okay, that works.
All right, and then the last item is discussion of the USA 250th year anniversary for the month of July. I know that the state library has got something going on, but I think they're calling it the SC 250th. Is that
they
correct?
Are. We call it locally SC 250. All the counties have their own committees. Go ahead. I just brought some stuff.
So it's really a local county kind of thing versus a country.
I think two prongs, but here in South Carolina, every county has their own committee. John Scarden is on our York County committee. USA, I'd have to look it up. I just brought local. I just brought information. We've got the state has a bunch of resources. They have their own American Revolutionary War activity booklet, and then they've got lots of information on life, culture, and conflict in Revolutionary South Carolina. Now, these are all, obviously research tools and informational resources, but they also have a March 28th. They are launching they'll be supporting the South Carolina Confederate Relic Room and Military Museum's American Revolutionary Day. The programs will offer something for everyone. So that's what the state library themselves are doing locally. And then the library. Of course, we have lots of contributions here to the American Revolutionary War, obviously. So historic Brattonsville, Kings Mountain, Hills Ironworks, Allison Creek Park. So they're doing events around that. They're still working on things. Says John, we locally at our library in Rock Hill, we have four children's programs scheduled for July. There'll be a tea party with Felicity, the American girl. There'll be a program on George Washington's spies, some kind of presented where it's interactive. There'll be a July 4th stay-and-play celebration and a family event where we celebrate July 4th. And then for the adults, this Kings Mountain has an exhibit that we are going to put on banners at Rock Hill. And there are a couple more exhibits, one called Becoming U.S. exhibit, and then the other one is Declaration 1776, the Big Bang of Democracy. So we'll be spreading those out. And John's going to be doing genealogy-related classes for colonial and revolutionary era research and is looking at getting speakers for historical presentations or a one-day lecture series, kind of a concentrated genealogy or historical lecture series. And he was talking about forming an internal committee based off the work that he's doing with this South Carolina committee. But if you all have ideas, let us know. Okay.
Are there any ideas floating out there?
Seriously, email me, Martin. I mean, really, the more the merrier.
Okay.
Because this don't maybe come along.
I know, right?
Yeah. No. Not minding that it came down. Has anybody not been to that place, the King Mountain? It's worth a visit. It is
pretty cool.
It is.
When you realize what took place there.
Yeah.
And have John do a program. There was somebody who was quoted quite often in the Ken Burns series of American Revolution. His name was William Plum Martin. I want John to trace the sea world.
Whatever that name comes from. William Plum Martin.
Sounds good.
All right. The only other question I have is for our next meeting, time and places. Well, the time is going to stay at 1 o'clock, but it's going to change to Lake Wylie. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, everybody write that down, please. 1 o'clock at Lake Wylie.
And that's
April 9th.
Okay. April 9.
1 p.m.
1 p.m. And then May, where are we? We're back here.
Also Lake Wylie.
Lake Wylie,
and then
okay.
We're back here in Fort Mill.
Yes.
June, July.
So, okay.
And then.
So after we get through that little glitch of April and May, we'll be back here pretty much most permanently.
Okay. We don't think Rockville's going to be open?
Well, I think we're just going to, we've got this lined out, listen to some changes in the middle of the streams, finally lined out. All right. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Second.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 All right. Thank you all.
We lost our secretary, by the way.
I'm
oh, okay. Thank you.
So that one's in the
yeah.
All right. Great. Thank you again.
Oh, you're welcome. Great.
Yeah,
great.
Thank you.
I apologize
thank
for being fiddly on my phone. But
thank you, Martin.
Yeah, you're welcome.